Let's continue how to make a kosher mikvah. We learned the two bayras, the bar zuria and the bar of hashaka. So that we're gonna fill up the tub where the immersion will take place.
The guy's name is David, Rabbi David Miller.
Yeah.
He left a lot of money to YU because of his scholarship.
That's who was.
He's the one who wrote two books, something about the Jews and make the portable mikvahs in the house.
Oh, the one who... Oh,
I have that book. I think I have it buried in my house, yeah. And a big radio.
Actually, he has a diagram to how to make a mikvah in my closet.
Right, yeah.
But I can't find the book.
It's online, somewhere online.
I have it, though.
You can probably type it in again.
No,
okay, so let's review. So here, let's deal with that with the spirit. We have this the tub where the immersion will take place. How are we going to fill it up? So we learned the first technique. The first technique is we have on the side, adjacent to the tub, we have a kosher mikvah, 40 saw of kosher rainwater, and we're going to turn on the tap water, and the tap water is going to make contact with the 40 saw of kosher rainwater, and it's going to overflow into the tub. That is called zuria. We're going to plant non-kosher water in kosher water to make it kosher, and it will overflow and fill up the tub. That's the first. That's how we're going to fill up the mikvah. The other technique is we can fill up the tub with regular non-kosher tap water, and adjacent to the tub is a kosher mikvah, 40 saw of rainwater, and there is a tube. There is an opening between one and the other that is sealed with a plug. We pull out the plug, now this hashaka, and the two are connected. So the truth is, most new modern mikvahs employ both of these techniques. Each one in and of itself is good. You don't need both. Each one is good, but we use both. That's how they do it. In order to should be muhudar, the mikvah is filled up through the technique called zuria, and we amchazek it. We want to further make it kosher, even though it's not necessary, it's already kosher, by doing a hashaka, by pulling out the plug. We pull out the plug, and now the water in the tub is making contact with the kosher water. They're kissing one another, and that also makes the mikvah kosher. That's what we do today. We do both techniques, zuria and hashaka.
What is zuria again?
It means the plant. Let's make believe this the big Navi. My Navi over here is the top. This is where the immersion will take place. In this. This little device, my microphone box over here, is gonna be the kosher mikvah. 40 saw. In this gray area is where from the roof comes down rainwater. And in this little pit is a small pit of 40 soft kosher rainwater. That's the minimum one needs to make a mikvah. And how you should be toivel really in here. You should really be toivel in this little box over here. But you're not going to do that because it's not heated and it's not clean. And they'll throw you out of the shul very quickly if you do that. So this is really a real kosher mikvah. And this is a beautiful, luxurious tub. They spent $50,000. They bought the fanciest tiles. They brought in the fanciest designers. With nice steps and stainless steel handlebars to go down, and it's heated, there's a filter in here. How are we going to make the blue kosher? So we're going to do two things. We're going to employ the technique called zuria. The tap water that's going to fill up the blue is not going to be in the blue. It's not going to be on the wall over here to fill it up. It's going to be over here, outside. Tap water is going to come down only upon the kosher mikvah, the 40 soft kosher mikvah. When the tap water touches the kosher mikvah, it overflows. It overflows and falls into the tub. So we've planted. It's called zuria. The water, non-kosher water, coming in contact with the surface. It's similar to hashaka, really, because it's made in contact. It's a little bit better because every single drop, it's better than hashaka, because every single drop of water that ever came into the mikvah, every single drop first made contact with the water in the pit. So we're going to do Zuriyah to fill it up. To fill it up. Then we're not satisfied with that. In between this and this, in the wall, is a little hole. There's a hole that's at least 6 centimeters wide. Diameter of 6 centimeters. There's a plug that keeps them separate. We're going to pull out the plug, and that way, after we fill this up, the water in this little pit will be in direct contact with what's inside over here. So we're going to make this mikvah kosher. Two techniques. Zuriyah. We're going to fill it up with a technique called Zuriyah. I'm going to fill it up with a technique called Hashaka. Each one has an advantage and a disadvantage. What is the advantage of Zuriyah? The advantage is every single drop of water that came into this mikvah was kashered as it came into the mikvah.
What?
Was kashered. Was made kosher. Relative to Hashaka. Because Hashaka, you have a whole big massive vat, and here you have a little pit, and there's a plug. You pull out the plug. What's making contact? Just a little bit, just the ends. Just a teeny, there's a contact that's made for a second. And then you go and you put the plug back inside. So all the water here is really non-kosher water for a mikvah. This is the kosher mikvah. By pulling out the plug, there's a connection between this tub and this little pit, and that makes the chibur. And we only do the chibur for a moment. For one moment, you pull it out, there's a connection, you put it back inside, now this area is kosher. So relative to the hashaka, to the zuriya, the hashaka is, it's not so great. I mean, it's good, it works. But only a small amount of water is making contact, and the halacha allows the entire mikvah to be kosher, and we only do it for one moment. Because according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim holds, in order for your immersion to be good, the connection between the real mikvah and this mikvah has to be there permanently. When you are immersing in the mikvah, the plug should be open. We don't want to do that for different reasons. We don't want the plug to be open for there. I'll show you in a moment why not. So Zuriyah is much better. Because Zuriyah, you've made a kosher mikvah from the get-go. Every single moment you're immersed in the mikvah, it's wonderful. There's no problem whatsoever. So Zuriyah has the advantage that every drop of water that has come to make this mikvah is kosher, is water. And there's nothing more that needs to be done. You don't need to rely upon any leniency of allowing us to close the channel, the pipe, after you make it kosher. However, Zuriyah has a disadvantage, a very, very big disadvantage, and it's not so much in halacha there's a disadvantage, there's a disadvantage in danger. What's the danger? The danger is when you clean the tub, and the tubs are cleaned very often, especially in a good mikvah, in modern mikvah, women are tovel, they want the mikvah to be pristine, okay, it has to be crystal clear, they're going to clean the tub very often. They're going to empty out this, and they're going to empty it out, and it's going to be clean. They're going to scrub it down. They're going to clean it.
They don't filter.
Then they filter it also. While they're using it, it's filtered as well. Because in between one person and the next person, you don't want to get the germs from the previous person, right? They'll fill the mikvah. You could have 100 people use the mikvah in one day, in 2 days. A woman's mikvah at night can be used by 100 people, 50 people, whatever it's used by. So it gets dirty. I mean, just from the use of different, even though the women, they have to be very clean before they go to mikvah, but it gets dirty. So there's a filtering process as well. That's another separate issue. But every so often, they're going to clean it out. There's a very great danger that when you clean it out, if you don't clean it out 100%, if you empty it out, and on the floor of the mikvah, there's a little puddle. It is a small puddle on the floor of this tub that is not drained 100%. If that puddle equals in volume 3 saw, 3, or was it 3 lugim? I don't even remember. A small amount of water. I don't remember the math. I think it's 3 saw. It's not a lot, unless it's not a lot of water. A very small amount of water. The mikvah is pasul. No matter how much kosher water you put into the mikvah through Zuriyah, it is pasul. The first 3 saw of the mikvah must be kosher mikveh water. If you put in three saw and then you turn on the tap, and then you finish it off by adding another 40 saw later on, it's good. Another 37 saw. But if you start out with three saw, that's no good. There's nothing you can possibly do to make the mikveh kosher later on through Zeria. So if you did not have a bar hashaka, that tube that connects it between the kosher and non-kosher, and you only rely upon Zeria, and you're gesundheit, and you're not careful to drain the swamp, you're not careful to drain the bottom of the, I'm trying to wake you up, not to drain the bottom of the mikvah, and there's going to be three saw of non-kosher water, you would never ever know that this mikvah is possible. In fact, let me explain, the Chazoinish was against originally Hashaka. Explain, Chazoinish held there's no reason why you should have a bar. This was the original approach in Eretz Yisrael. When Eretz Yisrael came to Yisrael, they started making advice. He was of the opinion that you should not make a bar Hashaka. The only way to make a mikvah is through Zeria. You have your beautiful tub over here, and you have your real mikvah over here, and there's no connection, there's no tube. Don't have any tube between one and the other. And the way you make the mikvah kosher is you fill up the mikvah. You fill up the mikvah. The way you make the mikvah kosher is you fill up the mikvah through Zeria. That's it. Why was the Chazoinish against, in his opinion, there being a bar hashaka? Cleanliness. He was ahead of his time. The Chazoinish said, well, you're going to make a beautiful clean mikvah, but the bar of the 40 sov rainwater is filthy dirty. It's right, that's what happens. It comes from the roof, down the pipes, into this bar. The bar itself is concrete. It itself is not so clean to begin with. You fill it up with 40 sov water, and it can sit there for probably even a year until it'll change it. Until it'll decide, it doesn't rain here in Israel too often. It only rains during the winter. So it could be sometimes they let the mikvah, they don't change the bar, the water in the bar, the real mikvah, for a year. They let it fill up with the rainwater, and it's just like that. It's dirty water. It's kosher. It's a kosher mikvah, but it's dirty water. And our health standards do not allow for us to immerse in that dirty water. So how do we immerse? So, but that water, we have no choice. We at least use it for the Zeria. You turn the tap water and it overflows. Maybe they filter it. I don't know. Maybe they filter it. But even with all the filtering, it's not pristine to the degree that we are satisfied with. So the Chazanish says, why would you want to go contaminate your mikveh? You open up the plug and it's all going to mingle and the germs and all the dirt in the bar is going to go into the fancy tub. What do you need it for? What?
Why has shock? It doesn't that happen?
What?
By Hashoka,
that's what Hashoka is. By Hashoka, you're opening up.
By Zeria,
it does happen. You're right, it does. But in Zeria, it does happen. But I don't know the details exactly, but it appears that it's not as much.
It goes backwards.
What?
It goes in one direction as opposed to.
It happens once and that's it. And it could be they do filter it. The degree, there is no solution. You're right, there is no solution. But the amount of contamination, health contamination, in the technique of Zeria is much, much less than in Hashaka. That is the way it is.
What?
They didn't care about health issues. There was no other choice. So the Chazoinish was of the opinion not to do Hashaka. Only do Zeria, and that is it. Don't get involved with Hashaka. You're getting involved in health issues. Zeria is not perfect, but it's less of an issue. That was the understanding. That's the way the Metzius is. It's less of an issue. So that's what they did. They built mikvahs in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Chazoinish, with this leniency of only doing Zeria, and there was no Hashaka. A fellow went to a mikvah that was built by the Chazoinish, according to his understanding, and he was there and he was watching what was going on, the attendant who took care of the mikvah. It was time to clean the tub. Opened up the drain, all the water went out. Scrubbed the walls. He needed some wall water, so he turned on the hose, washed it down a little bit more with the hose, cleaned it, and the observer noticed that there was a little pool on the ground, like 2 inches of water, because he took the hose to clean it down, And the drain wasn't, you know, the drain wasn't perfect. No, not every, you know, it's a big chokhmah. You go do a shower to make sure, you know, the curvature of the shower floor should come right into the center. It wasn't done perfectly. So there was a nice pool of water. There was a nice pool of water, which was for sure more than 3 lugim. Then the attendant, he turned on the tap water. Zuya went into the bar, overflowed, went into the tub, filled up the tub. The mikvah is 100% possible. A woman goes into this mikvah, she's still a nida. Her husband has relations with her, they're both chayav karas.
What about for a man? We're not looking for a man?
No. A man, it's no different. They go to a swimming pool. It's like Tisha Kabin. Tisha Kabin. It's all shilas. It's like Tisha. Maybe it's even worse Tisha Kabin. No, it's no good for anything. It's no good. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's a pool. It's a swimming pool. It's not kosher for a nida. It's no good. So, and there's nothing you can do about it. If there was a bar hashaka, if you have the backup, like what we do today, a bar hashaka, either it's the same bar, sometimes it's the same bar, and sometimes they have two bars. There's a bar here, 40 sar rainwater, and they have another bar, another tube with more rainwater over here, let's say in the back, let's say on this side. So they have another, you have the bar hashaka, backup. So very good. So this they messed up, the guy blew it, he didn't know what he was doing, he didn't drain it, he left here in the bottom of the mikvah 3 sav of mayim shuvim, and now they filled up the whole mikvah. Everything they did with Zuya was a waste of time, because if you start off with 3 sav non-kosher water, there's nothing you can do to make it kosher. We have a backup. The backup is, we have another bar over here, grain water, and there's a tube that goes between this and this. We pull out the plug for 1 second, and by pulling out the plug, this now kashers the mikvah.
And now it still started with the same 3 bad sock.
No, this is not 3 bad sock. No, it doesn't matter. No, when you do all this, you only do hashak. Some mikvahs have no zuriya. There are a lot of mikvahs, have many mikvahs. Some men don't have any zuriya at all. You know, it's too complicated for them. So they just have one bar. They have a bar of 40 rain, soft rain water. What do? The tube is closed. They fill up the tub with 100 soft tap water. This is as possible as can possibly be. Correct? How do you make it kosher?
Okay.
Pull the plug out.
For how long?
For 1 second. Once they pull the plug out, this now touches this, kosher, put the plug back in, kosher, you're done. You're done. Back up. So what would be so bad if we had the bar, we do today both. Today, the way it's done is, at least we do even more. I'll show you in a moment what we do today. We do much more sophisticated things today. But on a very basic level, we fill it up through Zuria. So right away it's kosher. And it's very kosher because every molecule of water has been kashered on its way in through Zuria. It's wonderful. And then, as a backup, we pull out the plug.
So just, can it be the same
one? It can be the same one. It can be the same one. Yes, it can be, definitely. But it doesn't have to be. You can, and we want, for different reasons, we like to have different burrows. I'll show you why. We have like a lot of burrows. If you can have the more, the merrier. The more things, the more backups you have another bar. The Chazanish did not want it to be a bar hashaka. He felt the bar hashaka makes too many problems. And his primary issue was he felt the bar hashaka was a health issue. He was very sensitive. The Chazanish was a very frail person. He was a very frail person, health-wise. So he had even more of a sensitivity to these matters. He held that you have two boroughs. I guess you have two boroughs. This is the bar Zuria and the bar Hashaka. I guess the bar Zuria, the water is clean, because since anyway the tap water is replenishing, it's causing there to be a mixture, so the water is anyway going to be clean in the bar Hashaka, but the bar Zuria. But the bar Hashaka goes nowhere. It just sits there for years. The bar Zuria, it's filthy dirty. You're going to pull out the plug, it's going to make something disgusting. So why would you want to go contaminate your fresh tap water with germs and diseases and who knows what? In Eretz Yisrael, you know, those days in Eretz Yisrael wasn't so simple. Today, Baruch Hashem, you know, the medical science in Eretz Yisrael is very, very advanced. But years ago, Rahman, son, you get, you know, go back in the 50s, the 40s, you get sick in Eretz Yisrael, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
Okay, it wasn't America, and even America then wasn't what it is today. So it was very, very sick.
The original bar, you can't put antibacterial stuff like chlorine.
They do, but it's not. It doesn't work today. Whatever it is, new issues. I don't know all the details today. Obviously, they're much more advanced. But that time when the Chaznish was writing and discussing how to do it, they didn't have all these Purell didn't exist. All that type of stuff All that fancy stuff didn't exist. And also, when you add too many things into the water, people are going to tell you that it's not water. You can tell in the water. It's not a pure mikveh anymore. Mm-hmm. There are all these different issues. He didn't want this. So he did away with this. They got rid of this. No hashaka. They did zriyah. Someone came back and told him what he saw with his own eyes. Aid Neman, Aid Ria, what he saw was going on. The bathhouse, the people who take care of the first Amaratzin, they don't know the halachas, they don't know what's going on. They paid minimum wage. They clean the mikvah, they swim very, very hard. They don't know halachas. So, no, there's a pool of water on the bottom, big deal. There's an inch of water or 2 inches of water on the bar. Don't you realize that 2 inches of water on the bottom of the whole floor adds up to way, way more than 3 saw. So when you do Zriya, your Zriya is a waste of time. So the mikvah is possible. The only way you can now make the mikvah kosher is if you had the backup, bar hashaka, and pull out the plug, then it's kosher. So by doing away with this, because of health reasons, and more often than not, you're causing your being machshel people are being toiled in a mikvah that's not really kosher. So the story is, it's written over here word for word, that the Chazon Ish was horrified with what he heard. He was like, he turned white from what he heard. And he's issued a decree. As Harato Gemura from his decision, what he said. And all the mikvahs should bring back the bar hashak. Because obviously the danger of doing Zuriya the wrong way is so great, it's not worth it. Bring back the bar hashak. And that's why today, kamat every mikvah in the world today, any new mikvah for sure has the bar hashaka, and fill it with the bar zuriya. Okay, we're out of time again, but let's just do, I want to go one more thing, we have to go to the right, one more thing before we start taking 5 minutes, and we'll be finished, I'll do it very quickly. We mentioned yesterday, integrity. Problem is, when you do zuriya, what's going to happen? If you're turning on tap water, on a bar of 40 saw, and the tap water is coming down as a torrent with force, tell me, is your original 40 saw of rainwater going to be the original rainwater after you finish filling up the mikvah?
No.
No way. And if you don't believe it, do a scientific experiment by putting in food coloring. That's what they do to prove it, the point. Put in food coloring, there are different types of food coloring, fill up this bar, we'll take it, do an experiment, fill it up with some dye, some red dye, and take your tap water, and when you finish filling up the mikvah, take a look, this thing still has red dye in it. The water here is still red. It's not going to be red. It's going to be white. It's going to be clear. And all of your red dye is going to be dispersed all over the place. What does that mean? It means that your original 40 saw disappeared. It's not there. Now, let's do another experiment. Let's have only a bar hashaka. Okay, we have the connecting pipe. 40 saw of rainwater. Pull out the plug. Now, l'chatchila, according to Rabbi Yerucham, you have the plug has to always be out. 24/7. It has to be out when you immerse. Leave the plug out. Come back 2 days later. Guess what? Your red dye that you put in your bar hashaka is no longer there. The red dye that you put in the bar hashaka is completely mixed with all the water is one color. No good. Because your original 40 saw of rainwater has dissolved.
It went into
here. So what? Who cares? So once it's kosher, everything is kosher. It's all kosher. That is what the Rush says. The Rush says, who cares? Once you start off with a kosher mikvah, who cares? Who cares? Kosher is kosher. It remains kosher forever. Who cares? All your dye can mingle all over. It doesn't. Once it's kosher, it's kosher. Nothing to discuss. This is the Shitas Harash, and to some degree, and when the day is over, after all the fancy schmancy things I'm going to tell you now and next week, we have to rely upon the Rush. Because there is no solution. There is no perfect solution to avoid the fact that all the waters eventually mingle. We can delay it. We have techniques that can delay it, but you can't, you can run, but you can't hide. Eventually, it's going to mix no matter what. But we can delay it. So the Rush says, it's okay. If you start out with 40 of kosher rainwater, even after you fill it for the very first time, it's not going to be here anymore. It's all going to mingle. It's okay. You do hashak, it's going to mingle. It's okay. However, what do the briskas do? All the briskas who have the long, thick pace, what are they going to do? Because they hold like the Rambam and the Ravid. Are of the opinion that if it mixes, it's no good. It's no good. You have to have, I call, preserve the integrity of your original 40 saw of rainwater. How are we going to preserve the 40 saw of rainwater, the dye, the red dye that we put into our scientific experiment? How are we going to keep that water in here and use this to make a kosher mikvah? Big, big problem. For the Bar Zeria, what?
A one-way flow. It only can flow one way.
So what in one way? If I have my Bar 40 sunlight and I put, we're doing a scientific experiment, I'm going to put here red dye.
Right, yeah.
So now it's red. And now I turn on the tap water. At any angle, I put the tap water to go and come and make contact with the bar, with the Bar Zeria, and an overflow. You can do any technique you want, any angle, anywhere you want. It doesn't matter. It's not going to work. Then when you finish filling up your tub, there's not going to be any red dye left in this mikvah. All the red water in this mikvah, in the original 40 saw, will be dispersed all over the place, which means you no longer have in here the original 40 saw. And if you don't have in here the original 40 saw, then it's no longer a Bar Zeria. According to the Rambam, it's not a kosher mikvah.
So neither method would work according to
this. And according to the Rambam, you have a Bar Hashaka, red dye. Maybe it'll be good, you'll pull out the plug. It'll be good for the first 5 minutes. Maybe the first 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Maybe it'll be good for the first few days. But eventually, even if you only open up for a second, even if you're very make it only for a second, open up, close it. Give it a week. Give it a week and open up your bar and all the red dye. Hey, where'd all the red dye go? You look in your mikvah, how come the mikvah's reddish? How come it has a little tint of red? Because after you open up the plug a couple of times, all the water mingles.
So this is
big problem. So let me only tell you now one solution because we're out of time. I'll tell you one solution, tell you the next one, do more. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shluta. Not, what am I saying?
No.
It can't be him. Because this is the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, not the seventh. But I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that. I really have no idea. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, who never came to America. Okay, he never came to America. He, in Russia, had a brilliant solution. His solution was, now it turns out he's done scientific experiments to see if it really works, and he said it doesn't, but let's see what he said. He said, instead of having the bar on the side, let's make the bar, listen to this, underneath. Here's the tub. See what we're doing? Here's where you're immersing. Where is my bar, my real bar, the real kosher mikvah? Not on the side, no zuya. Zuya doesn't work. You can do it. You can do it. Not like the Rambam, but everyone has to rely upon the Rosh no matter what. But if you want like a Rambam, you want a Rambam mikvah. Okay, you want a Rambam mikvah. So how are we going to get? Take your bar. Don't put it on the side over here. Put your real bar. We're doing the hashash. So put the bar, the real bar, over here. What are you looking at? Now have the rainwater from the roof go into here. Have it channeled into the bar. And the bottom of this of your bar, make a hole. And what's that going to look? And fill it up with tap water. Fill up your bar. Your mikvah with good, nice tap water. And pull out the plug on the bottom. Make sure no one gets hurt, no one falls in that little hole over there. Make a hole 6 centimeters in the bottom. We'll make hashaka with here. So what are you accomplishing? It's going to mingle, right?
Gravity will let it mingle.
It's going to mingle. Gravity will allow it to mingle. Technique is, here's the technique. Just make sure you keep the temperature. The temperature, even by 1 degree, and certainly by 5 degrees, of your tub higher than the temperature of your real bar. Because heat goes upwards and cold goes downwards. So if you have it side by side, the science proves to us it doesn't make a difference if it's cold, hot, it's going to mingle after a very short period of time. But if you keep it below the laws of gravity, the laws of physics, the laws of science teach us, if you keep the temperature of the pit, of the pit on top, what's on top, higher, hotter than what's on the bottom, the water on the bottom is not going to be displaced. So this was his idea, and the Lubavitcher mikvahs are built in this fashion, where they have the bar underneath the place where you are immersing, and there's a little tube which connects your, goes straight down, and you don't have to worry that the water underneath on the ground below that's doing hashok is going to be replaced and diluted by what's on top, because what's on top is hotter than the temperature of what is below. That is the Lubavitcher solution. Does this work? So they've done a lot of experiments. It doesn't always work. They've shown scientifically that it also mingles. So what's the next step? The next step is they have a two bayers bar deep down in the ground, the real deal, the real kosher mikvah. Then they have another bar. And then they have, and there's a little hole, there's a hole between this and this, and then there is your tub where you go to the mikvah. So you're going over here, underneath you is another pool of water that is really serving as a buffer between the real mikvah down on the bottom, and this buffer has a small hole, so we don't want the water from the ground. This will delay.
And the top and the middle are connected too?
Yes, they're all connected.
By the same little hole?
By the same hole, but it's a small hole. So you, basically you're creating a buffer zone. And the creation of a buffer zone significantly delays, especially when you keep this hot. You keep this hot, and all the way down, two levels down, it's cold. Keep it very cold. Make it free, put in some ice. Keep it freezing cold. You use techniques, have refrigeration on the outside of the bar to make it keep it cold. Significantly delays the dilution of your original 40 sum. That's what they do. You have a bar, lefnim in a bar. And basically all the techniques I'm going to show you, other techniques, all make use of this principle where we have a buffer zone. We want to try lechatchila to follow the Rama. The end of the day is you can't. End of the day is you're going to end up relying upon the rush at some point in time. Unless you have a lot of rainwater, you can replenish the original mikvah. But at least to try to preserve the integrity of the original bar, what today is done all over is to create buffer zone levels. And the Lubavitcher's chiddush was, take advantage of technology, we heat the mikvahs, keep your real mikvah hot, keep your real bar cold, have a buffer, we advance, have a buffer zone, and the buffer zone will keep the cold real mikvah water all the way down there on the ground, and your real kosher mikvah is hot, and we have a tube going all the way down through Hashaka. You have everything. You have a kosher mikvah with Hashaka, and you preserve the integrity of your real mikvah. Okay, so that is the Lubavitcher mikvah. Not everyone today who builds mikvahs is very expensive to do this way, to go very, very deep down. It's much more complicated. So not everyone takes advantage of this. Most people today have it side, on the side of the mikvah, and they have buffer zones, and I'll show you next week how we do that in order to try to preserve the water.
Oh, no, I'm not sure.